ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
टेक्स्ट नंबर 18 एंड 19। समशत्रौ च मित्रे च तथा मानापमानयोः शीतोष्णसुखदुःखेषु समसंगविवर्जितः तुल्यनिन्दास्तुतिर्मौनी संतुष्टो येन केनचित् अनिकेतः स्थिरमतिर् भक्तिमान् मे प्रियो नरः। वन हू इज ईक्वल टू फ्रेंड्स एंड एनिमीज, हू इज इक्विपॉइज्ड इन ऑनर एंड डिसऑनर, हीट एंड कोल्ड, हैप्पीनेस एंड डिस्ट्रेस, फेम एंड इनफेमी, हू इज ऑलवेज फ्री फ्रॉम कंटामिनेटिंग एसोसिएशन, ऑलवेज साइलेंट एंड सैटिस्फाइड विद एनीथिंग, हू डजंट केयर फॉर एनी रेजिडेंस, हू इज फिक्स्ड इन नॉलेज एंड हू इज एंगेज्ड इन डिवोशनल सर्विस, सच अ पर्सन इज वेरी डियर टू मी। So some of the words we haven't covered yet. One is the Sangha Vivarjitaha. Sangha Vivarjitaha, Prabhupada translates it here. Free from all contaminating association. That is Sangha Vivarjitaha. Then we have Sthiramatir. Sthiramati means fixed intelligence. Then also he says Bhaktiman. Even if one has all these qualities, but if he is not a bhaktiman, then Krishna is not talking of him. Krishna is talking of a bhaktiman possessing all these qualities. So, Sangha Vivarjitaha means freedom from contaminating association. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his very first instruction to Sanatana Goswami, he says about this. He says, Asatsanga Tyag Yai Vaishnava Achar. So he says, who is a Vaishnava? How does he define a Vaishnava? One who gives up the bad association. So giving up bad association is not a matter of giving up just the company of bad people. That is also, of course, avoiding bad association. Especially in a day and age like ours, how many of us can avoid bad company? How many of us can completely remain aloof? Like elsewhere, 13th chapter, 8 to 10, 12 verses, Krishna says there, Vivikta Desha Sevitvam Aratir Jana Samsadi. So there he says about, you know, how a spiritualist keeps himself in mode of goodness by living in the forest, by living away from the society which is absorbed in modes of passion and ignorance. People are hankering after honor and prestige and money and everything. So a spiritualist may live in a secluded place. But how many people in this day and age can leave everything and live in a secluded place? Avoiding bad association. Actually, those who are spiritualists, they always try to keep aloof for one particular reason. Avadhut Brahman in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam explains. He says he saw 24 different types of gurus. Like ocean is a guru, he said. Because it teaches me the how deep and grave he is. Earth is a guru. Then he saw many different types of birds, animals, and he learnt many valuable lessons from them. So one of the gurus, he said, what he got an opportunity to learn from was a lady, a girl who was in a marriageable age. So she was staying at home and her parents had gone out somewhere. So now the boy's family, they came to see her. And now this girl was alone and she had to serve them. So she made them all sit in the drawing room and she went inside to cook something. You know, in those days they used to, even now also they do that. What do you call that rice? They beat the rice, you know. Not the rice, the paddy. No, not chipped rice. They beat it and remove the husk and then take the rice and then they cook. You know that? Not grinding, the crushing, yeah, they crush it, yeah. They do that in order to remove the cover. So she had to do that also. In her house, there was rice covered with that cover, you know. So she had to do that. So she went inside and she was doing it. When she was doing it, both her bangles, both sides the bangles were producing sound. And she was a little afraid. She thought that these people will come to know that we are poverty stricken. Because only in poor homes they would use this rice, isn't it? So nowadays we all use the machine polished rice, which has no vitamin practically. No? But traditionally the rice was made like that. So she was wondering, how can I make this rice without making sound? So that my guests will not come to know that we have to make these things ourselves. In Zamindar's homes, they won't do it themselves. They will get it done from somebody. No? So then she thought of removing all her bangles. Then she removed one from either hands and started doing. Still it was making sound. Then she removed one more and then one more. At last she could leave only one in this hand and one in this hand. Then she could, you know, do that rise without any, you know, making noise. So when Avadhut Brahman saw this, he said, I learnt a good lesson from this. He said, the lesson I learnt is that if you have to perform spirituality, if you have to meditate on God or think of God, then one has to be aloof. As soon as two people come, there is gossip. You will see that. Immediately there is gossip, there is useless talk. Like in the train, you see sometimes you go and say, somebody talks about cricket, somebody talks about politics, somebody talks about climatic conditions, rains and weather, somebody talks about the news from the newspaper, some hurricane somewhere, some tsunami somewhere, or somebody was murdered. People talk all these things. And newspaper, you find, you open the newspaper, it's all filled with unpleasant news. And in order to cover up the unpleasant news, they put some cartoon at one corner. So there's a lot of bad association. You will see that as soon as one is with another person. Like for example, you want to read a book, you open the book and somebody comes there and immediately you keep the book aside and you are talking. And there is gossip goes on for a long time. And nothing happens, nothing tangible happens. So Avadhut Brahman saw this and said, it's best for one who is serious about study of scriptures and focus on God to be aloof. Now, there is a reason why the impersonalists keep aloof. The impersonalists are the Mayavadis, those who think that the ultimate truth is impersonal. Those who are not devotees of God, those are impersonal. They like to keep aloof for another reason. That reason is, every impersonalist is like a Muni. Muni means, a Muni is a person who thinks deeply or who speculates with his mind and tries to understand the truth. And in the course of doing that, he will arrive at the truth himself. And sometimes such a Muni has his own idea of truth. And then when another Muni comes, they will have a quarrel. Because one will say the truth is this, another will say the truth is that. You have heard this story, Prabhupada says, like two scientists had a quarrel. One scientist said, this material can be cut only with a scissor, he said. And that another person said, no, it can be cut only with a knife or something like that. So they both had argument, and the argument started building up more and more. At one point of time, the fight grew so intense, they were sitting by the side of a river. So one of the scientists who said, you can cut only with a knife, what did he do? He pushed away the other scientist into the river. That fellow fell into the river and still he was shouting, was yelling, scissor, scissor, sir. Only his hand was seen up in the water, whole body was down. And he was showing like this. Two hands were seen. So sometimes people are bent upon arguing from their own viewpoint. And These munis are also like that. All munis, they always have a tough time to be together. As soon as two munis come, there will be a quarrel. Because every muni has his own idea of truth. But in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, somebody is called as a Sthitadhir Muni. Who is a Sthitadhir Muni? Sthitadhir Muni means that muni who has come after wandering through all the truths, he has at last come to the conclusion. Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavan Maam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamidi Samahatma Sudhalabha. He says, so one who understands that Krishna is all that is, such a person is called as a Sthitadhir Muni. Because he has come to conclusion after wandering all over the world. Now he has no doubt. Like Krishna says in another verse, Yomam eva asam mudho janati purushottamam. Yomam eva asam mudho. Asam mudho means without any bewilderment. One knows surely that I am the Supreme. Yomam eva asam mudho. Ma means me, he says. So, such a Sthitadhir Muni is because they accept Krishna as God, Arjuna as devotee, and they accept the message of Bhagavad Gita, they have come to a point where they can associate with one another. Imagine if there are 100 Sthitadhir Munis together, they won't have any problem. Why? Because they have a common center. What is the common center? Krishna is the common center. Devotional service is common center. And rendering service to Krishna and serving devotees, that is a common center. So they won't have any quarrel. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has given a very interesting purport to this girl's bangles example. He says that if one is a Mayavadi or an impersonalist, then just like this girl removed all the bangles, similarly he has to remove himself from all the other Mayavadis and all the other Munis, all the other friends, and he has to go to Himalayas. And he has to go to seclusion alone. And he cannot associate with anybody. Why? Because he will have quarrel. But if one is a Vaishnava devotee, one has come to a point of surrendering to Krishna, then one can associate with any number of Vaishnavas. There is no problem. So he compares that to the same girl. If she gets married to a prince, if she is going to get married to the prince of the whole country, imagine that the prince comes to her house and says that you may be apparently poor, but I would like to marry you. Now she can wear all the bangles, isn't it? She may even wear hundreds of golden bangles. And she can produce sound with that, there is no problem. In fact, that only increases the beauty more and more. Similarly, Vaishnava Sangha also increases the beauty, and Lord likes it and devotees like it, both. As that verse says, no? Satam prasangan mamavirya sambido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata. It says, devotees come in association with one another. Without associating with devotees closely, we cannot actually understand the qualities of Krishna. It's not possible. When we first observe the qualities of devotees and develop appreciation for it, then we develop appreciation for Krishna's qualities. So, in this way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, loneliness is only for impersonalists, not for Vaishnavas. In fact, as much as we stress on avoiding bad association, we equally stress on good association. Like we say, birds of the same feather flock together. So as devotees, unless one associates with other devotees, we can never make progress. Like Rupa Goswami says, Guhyam Akhyati Prichati. So we have to reveal our mind in confidence to a devotee, and we have to hear from a devotee. Then we make some progress by that. So the Sangha Vivarjitaha, which Krishna says, avoiding bad association, he is essentially told, in order for the devotee to be cautious, not to lose the valuable jewel of Krishna consciousness that one has achieved. One has to be very cautious. Why? When we say Sangha Vivarjitaha, avoiding bad association, sometimes we think bad association means somebody who is smoking, drinking, somebody who is doing bad activities, I should avoid that person. Actual meaning of avoiding bad association means avoiding any situation or atmosphere that kills our Krishna consciousness. That is avoiding bad association. See, Krishna consciousness is defined in various ways by Prabhupada. One of the ways he defines is that to always remember that Krishna is master and I am servant. That is Krishna consciousness. And my goal in life is to serve Him and attain His lotus feet. This is Krishna consciousness. Now, there are certain situations that may make us forget this truth, this eternal truth. So that is called bad association. Any situation that makes you forget this truth, that is bad association. Whoever it be, wherever it be, no matter how close relative they may be for you, that is considered bad association. That is why this Sangha, which we are talking about here, is not an external thing or a superficial thing. It has a deep meaning. Sangha actually means soaking our consciousness in some activity that takes us away from Krishna. Literally soaking our consciousness. Like, for example, you must have heard this famous story of how there was one mendicant living in a house, and he was doing some meditation. And there was a prostitute living in the opposite house. And every day this mendicant would look at her and see how many men are coming to her house. And prostitute also would look at this mendicant. And she would think, alas, my life is a waste. Just see this man. He is performing such nice godly activities. So years passed by. One day when this prostitute, she came to the doorstep of this mendicant and she fell at his feet. And she said, I have done so many sins. So this man said, don't even look at me. He said, just look at the big mountain of pebbles on the side. He said, each pebble represents one man who has met you. Just see, you have done volume and volume of sinful activities. So he said, you are going to go to hell. And she saw that and she felt very sorry. She cried tears. What else she could do? She went back. So she said, I have been deprived of my parents and relatives, everyone in my young age. And having been endowed with a beautiful body, I am exploited by society. And I have no other way by which I can survive. But still she said, because I am living opposite your house and I am seeing you, maybe I will get some credit. So she went away. So the time came when Yamadutas came. And Yamadutas came to the door of this mendicant. The mendicant looked at them and said, oh, you people have come to a wrong number. You have to go to the opposite house, there. He said like, and Yamadutas looked at their sheets and said, no, we have come to the right number. They said, he was wondering, what do you mean? I have done this many yajnas, I have done that, I have done this. So they said, no, sir, you were doing all these things, but you were polluted in your consciousness because you were constantly thinking of the prostitute's activities. Whereas she was living opposite your house, but she was constantly thinking of your divine activities. So you are punishable. So what does this show? This teaches us a very valuable lesson. It depends on what are you absorbing your mind on. Where is our mind? Tell me where your mind is. I can tell you where you are. Even there is a saying. Wherever our mind is, we are there. So, we can see that by bad company, we become polluted very easily. Because we get it soaked in our consciousness. Like I remember once, one of the Bombay devotees told me, he gave me address in Pune, not in the city, somewhere in the outskirts, to go and meet one gentleman. So I had just come to Pune that time for some time. I was working in the outskirts, so I went to meet this gentleman with address and everything. So I was in dhoti kurta, wearing white and white in my company days. So I went to his door and battered the door. So the man opened the door. And as soon as he saw me in dhoti, kurta, with tilak and everything, immediately I saw his eyes were literally glistening. And he welcomed me inside. He says, please come. I went inside, he made me sit in a big asana and everything. And he sat with me and said, he was immediately remembered Radha Gopinath Prabhu's name, because Radha Gopinath Prabhu only told me to meet him. So he said, oh, you do you know Radha Gopinath Prabhu? He asked me. I said, yes, I know. Then this man said, you know, I can never forget him in my life, because he said, once I went to Bombay and I was in the trains, and he met me in the train and he inspired me very much. He talked to me so many nice things. He told me about the Chopari temple, and he was having some books. He gave me some books and we had a long talk in the train, and he invited me to come to temple. So he said, those days my parents were looking for a girl, you know, so that I'll get married very soon. So he said, but still this Prabhuji called me. So I went to the temple, he gave me prasad, and the temple was so beautiful. Devotees were singing, dancing. He said, he also comes from Rajasthan side. So he said that he was very inspired seeing the temple. He stayed there only for 3 days, three full days. And he told me, those days are my golden days. Because I was in the temple, I was rising early in the morning, attending Mangalarti, chanting with devotees, and hearing Bhagavatam. In the daytime, different Prabhujis will answer many of my questions. I asked them questions practically about everything in life, he said. About life, about God, about goal of life, about Atma, Paramatma, everything I asked. In 3 days, I got a solid understanding of Krishna consciousness. Then I asked him, oh, you are a well-fixed-up devotee, I told him. Very nice. He said, but alas, what can I say, sir? Later on, as soon as I came to Pune, my parents were just waiting for me to settle me in my life. And he said, after I married, and now almost two to three years had gone after marriage. He said, now I have given up chanting, I have given up reading, I have given up all association, now I am living alone here. So he said that my mother, father, they have absolutely no attraction for Krishna consciousness. I'm newly wedded wife has no interest. And all the relatives, friends, everyone came, and I just got swayed away by that. He said, now I am seeing you, when I see your tilak, when I see you in the devotee form, all my old thoughts are again awakening in my heart. Then he asked him, oh, really, you had some books? Can you show me the books, what all books you had? Then he went and above the top of the bureau, he had some Prabhupada books kept there, completely covered with dust, never touched. So he took out the books and, you know, beating them, and removing the dust. He showed me what all books. So he had even underlined many, many books, different places. He had read also. He was practicing almost 10-12 rounds when he had returned from Bombay. Now he had given up chanting, given up reading, given up association. So when I had gone, we both were talking like this, and the TV was making noise. Something was going on in TV. Some serial, some song was going on. So he said, see, I am so insensitive that you are a sadhana, you know, you are a devotee who has come here, and you know, TV songs are going on. I am not even, I have become so blunt to this, he said. Then he put up the television after that. So I could see in his life how somebody can get carried away by material association, sangha, dussangha. Dussangha can carry us away, even if you are a devotee. Even a devotee, because what had happened to him was, he was very attached to his parents, very attached to his newly wedded wife, very attached to his grandfather, grandmother, who were not devotees. And he faithfully followed all their instruction and everything. In the name of satisfying them, he lost Krishna. That is how he lost Krishna consciousness. Of course, after that I used to regularly go. He would arrange a bhajan in his house. So I would go and do bhajan together with him. So his relatives and friends told him, if you want to do bhajan at our home, you can do, but you cannot go out of the four walls. You cannot go for this program, that program. We want you to focus on business and make lots and lots of money. And we want you to go to great heights. So he was telling me, I have so much money from my father. Still my relatives and friends want me to work hard and more. So he said, I can't come out of these four walls, but you can come here, he said. They allow you to come here. Because their idea was that if I come there, it is their area. Just like in cricket match, you know, if in India, Pakistan is coming and playing, we have, you know, the pitch, home ground, isn't it? So that was their idea, and that was true. That was true. So I would go, to the terrace and we would do bhajan, and he would be in full form, clapping hands, raising his hands, and you know, I would carry mridangam and we would do kirtan and everything. He would be ecstatic. So he came to 16 rounds at one time. But then I also became busy with preaching, different programs. I couldn't go. I would go once a month, then I would go once in 3 months. I lost touch. But again I met him, again he went back, you know, back to square A again. So what it shows is that if one is attached to bad association, then one cannot be delivered by a devotee. If one is attached to bad association, he was attached, that was his problem. So Krishna gave him an opportunity to again come in contact with Krishna consciousness, again take to it seriously. It's not that he is going to become brahmachari. He had a wife, he had a family, but he didn't have the boldness to tell the parents that, you know, this is the right thing to do. I have to do this, I have to go for once in a week program. I have to associate with devotees. He didn't have the guts. He thought that, no, I don't want to hurt them. Of course, we should learn the art of not hurting them and still doing Krishna consciousness. If you want to really advance in Krishna consciousness. So, because he soaked himself in bad association, every time I would go, the TV would be going on. Whenever I bat at the door, either he or his wife will open the door, and then you see the TV is going on in the main hall, watching something, and he will be there, always. That means he was not serious enough. Just like, you know, you lit a fire and you pour water. Again, you lit a fire, you pour water. So you will see that you cannot make any progress like that. Krishna consciousness requires intense practice, seriousness. So because of this dussanga, he was not making much progress. So it's like, you know, once I go once in a month to his house and do a little bit kirtan, how will it matter much? And another 29 days he is in dussanga. And same thing happens with many people. Many people sometimes are very pious. They are eager to become devotees. They even say, sometimes you meet a new person, the way he talks, you feel he is better than me. He has so much utsah for bhakti, or so much of vairagya he has. But many times the vairagya is shmashan vairagya. You know what is shmashan vairagya? When somebody dies in some home, they carry the body to the shmashan, cremation place. And when the body is being burnt, all the people, they are looking at the burning body. And a sort of vairagya develops in their heart. That is called as shmashan vairagya. But there is something special about this shmashan vairagya, because it is not long lasting. It is very short lived. It lives for a very short while. So when they see the body, when they come back, they think, what is life? At last everyone is going to be burnt to a pile of ashes. And this body which I am cherishing and worshipping and protecting, it's all going to be a pile of ashes. Now let me just turn to God. And they will go to temple, they will call sadhus, and all the seriousness will last for 2-3 days. And then they will get back into their material life again. Again. Back to square A. Because they are in dussanga. They are in bad association. In fact, even before they reach home, they will start talking about property, how to share and everything. And see that. Because the attachment for wealth and worldly things is so strong, that one cannot have a strong vairagya lasting for a long time. The reason is dussanga. The reason is bad association. That is why Lord Chaitanya is saying, Asatsanga Tyagye Vaishnava Acharya. One has to give up bad association, because the nature of bad association is that it will sink into your heart. As I am talking about soaking ourselves in bad association, the bad company will sink into your heart. Because we hold bad association in our mind. Just like you see some dirty cinema poster, you just see, you may see it once and you may turn your face away, but then it may sink in your heart. You may see something impure, and that impurity may stay in your heart. And the more it stays, it just doesn't stay, but it grows, it develops, and it gives to multiple impurity by that. Actually, Vedas condemn seeing impurity. One should never see impurity. In fact, in Vrindavan, you know, 2-3 brahmacharis, Govindpur was telling us this very interesting incident. He said 2-3 brahmacharis were going, walking, and there was a huge playground, he said. You have seen school playgrounds, huge grounds you have seen, empty grounds. So on the sides there were trees, bushes and trees and everything. So these 3-4 brahmacharis were this side, and practically several, maybe almost one and a half kilometers away, yeah, distance, there was everything was empty practically. So he said there were some 3-4 Vajabasi girls coming, 10 years, 12 years, some children coming there. So he said these brahmacharis, two, three of them were passing by and they sat down to pass urine. One of them sat. And as soon as the girls on the other side of the ground, they saw that somebody is sitting on the ground, you know, somebody is sitting in the road on the ground means they are going to pass urine or something. Then immediately they took the cloth and they covered their head like this.
Covered like this.
You know, Vajabasi is how they cover their head. So he said, from such a long distance, they can't even see us properly. Yeah. But Vedas teach that we should not see impurity. Because if you see impurity, it will cause a bad sanskar in the heart. Yeah. It will create a bad sanskar in the heart. So it's a training. It's a training given that one should not see with a wrong sight. Wrong sight means seeing with a bad mentality. But modern civilization teaches you how to see bad as much as possible, how to see impure things, and they are explicitly openly shown in movies and CDs, in internet, pornography sites. All these things are dirty things are floated everywhere. So because of that, everywhere there is pollution, mind pollution, not just air pollution or noise pollution or water pollution. Beyond all these things, what is the greatest pollution? Mind pollution. People's minds are being polluted by floating impurity everywhere. As devotees, sometimes even as devotees, we may become fooled by this kind of asat sangha that is being floated everywhere. Right? We talk about these things in the college youths very much. Although we have become devotees, we have not become pakka devotees yet, full-fledged devotees. So the tendency for doing impure things or seeing impure things is still there, lurking in the heart. So if one is not cautious, then one may again get hooked to impure life. When we leave impure life and go to pure life, when we are in between, the temptations will come again and again. And we may fall back to those temptations. Once you fall back, then you become weak in spiritual life. Just like a deer, you know, is running and tiger is chasing. If the tiger with his hand, with his paw, fat, one hit hits on the back of the deer, you know. One wound has happened already. Now the deer is still running, but the deer has become weakened now in its determination to run. Because already tiger has hit him. Of course now tiger also may be tired. But then if he continues to chase and hits him for the second time, third time, he will catch his neck and he will be finished. Similarly, every bad thing that we do creates a bad sanskar. And it has a very deep effect in our consciousness. Just like, you know, you throw a small pebble, it may create some ripples. You throw a big stone, it creates a wave. A huge boulder you throw in the water, it creates huge tide, it creates. Similarly, the sinful activities are of different levels, different degrees. And thinking of sin itself is dangerous. Speaking of sinful things is a little more dangerous, and doing them is the ultimate. If one does sinful activities, then he creates a very deep sanskar, like throwing a big boulder in water, in a pond. It leads to a huge tide. Similarly, performing sinful activities actually reinforces our tendency to repeat them again and again and again. So first we may look at impure things, then through the mind, all the jnanendriyas, it goes to the mind. And the mind is impure. What happens when mind is impure? When mind is impure, Prabhupada says, one loses innocence. When mind becomes impure, one loses the simple childlike nature. Like, you know, Lord Chaitanya went in front of Jagannath. As soon as he saw Jagannath, he started crying tears, he started dancing, he started falling unconscious. Calling out Jagannath's name. Why? Because his heart is completely pure. When heart is pure, you look at the deities, you look at the Lord, immediately you can see him as Sakshat Krishna. And when our mind is tainted and mind is impure, then we may consider the deity to be stone or metal or wood or something like that. Because the mind is impure. That is why he says, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Mind has to be cleansed. And mind is already impure, then why to dump more impurity in the mind? Huh? There is already enough homework to be done. There is so much homework to be done. Millions of lifetimes of impurity are stacked in the heart. And the proof is that we have no taste for the holy name. When we don't have taste for the holy name, when we are dozing in the chanting, when your mind is wandering, when we are struggling to complete our rounds of chanting, that's a proof that, you know, millions of years of impurities are stacked in the heart. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante maam dridavrataha. He says, those who have eradicated all the sinful reactions, Yesham tu anta katam papam, he says, jananam punyakarmanam, and those who are doing heaps and heaps of devotional activities, such people can te dvandva moha nirmukta, they can become free from the dualities of sukha and dukkha, you know, mana, apamana and all that. And bhajante imam tadavrataha. With firm determination they can practice. Krishna says that. So, firm determination cannot be achieved unless we give up sinful life. Why Prabhupada has made these four regulative principles? Because all these four regulative principles, they put us in bodily consciousness. When we are covered over with bodily consciousness, we can't think of Krishna. We will be simply in an enjoying mentality. Just want to delight in material enjoyment. And when you delight in material enjoyment, that's like the Bhagavan Saraswati story, he said, isn't it? The anchor which is kept in the river bank. So if the boat is anchored to the river bank, then how are you going to row the boat? Or even you are rowing the boat, doesn't make much sense. Because you don't get across the river, you don't go to the other destination at all. Similarly, keeping ourselves covered by sinful life, actually contemplating, beginning with contemplation. First step is contemplation. When you contemplate, then our desire to do it increases. And then gradually one may become sinful. One may act sinfully. And then one has reinforced sinful tendency. And that is very deadly. So, Sangha Varjita means we should not allow our consciousness to get soaked in impure things. Not only we should allow also to see impurity, we should also not allow our consciousness to soak itself in impurity. Soaking means giving the heart, giving one's heart to impurity. That is soaking. Like there were two sadhus who were walking by. So they saw an old woman and she wanted to, you know, go to some destination and she could not even move. She had a hunchback in her body and she was literally dragging her body and trying to move inch by inch. So she requested. So one of the sadhus picked her up and kept her on the shoulder. And he crossed her across the river and he walked some more miles distance, and when the holy place came, then she said, yes, you just put me near the door of the temple and I'll remain here. So she put her down. And then they both proceeded. And they must have walked another 40-50 kilometers, both the mendicants. So the other mendicant looked at the first one and asked, don't you understand? You are a sadhu, you are a mendicant. How can you lift her up? Lift up that old woman and carry her on your shoulder like this. This is against your dharma, he said. So the first mendicant said, I only carried her for some distance, some 5 kilometers or 10 kilometers. You are carrying her for 50 kilometers, he said. Because your consciousness is soaked in a bad thought. You are constantly contemplating on a bad thing. Of course, as we were saying about the mendicant and the prostitute story, some people think that, you know, I am worshipping God, I am thinking of God in the morning, I ring the bell, I do some puja. So I am also God conscious. We can't assume like that. We can carefully analyze ourselves where my mind goes. Which are the places my mind goes. Like we can take a survey right from morning to night. Getting up in the morning and sleeping in the night, you can see all day. Which are the things that my mind is interested in? We can do a survey. What are the things that are interesting to the mind? We can see that our senses are not chaste to Krishna. Chaste means like a chastity, wife's chastity. What is chastity of a wife? That she never associates with anyone other than the husband. For her husband is like God for a wife. And she does not think of any other man in that place. She gives a unique place for the husband. And nobody else can. Of course she will love and respect even husband's friends or husband's father, mother. She may serve everyone upon the order of the husband. But for her, husband is be all and end all for a chaste wife. In the same way, a Krishna's devotee should keep all one's senses and mind chaste to Krishna. Understanding Krishna to be the Satvatampati. Satvatampati means the husband of devotees. So devotees may be girls, devotees may be boys, devotee may be children, devotee may be animals like Gajendra or Hanuman. Devotee may be anybody, but Lord is the husband of all the devotees or master of all the devotees. So keeping our senses chaste means using them only in Krishna service and not otherwise. Like using the eyes to see only Krishna, not allow the eyes to wander in wrong direction. Amongst all the attractions, and the greatest attraction is for man for a woman and woman for a man, attraction for the opposite sex. But the contemplation of the opposite sex with one's eyes, it deteriorates one's intelligence and makes one's intelligence very weak. Like you see, Parashuram's mother, isn't it? She would go to the riverside and she would just take the sand like this in her hand, and immediately a pot would form. And with that she would fetch water and take the water and return home. So one day when she went to fetch water, she saw in the water a Gandharva was flying in the sky, and he had a very beautiful body. So she became for a moment agitated in her mind. Then she immediately forgot the bad thought and she wanted to make the pot. But now the pot was not coming because she was not pure and chaste. She could not make the pot, nor could she carry the water to home. And when her husband, Jamadagni, when he knew that, then he gave her the punishment. He told Parashuram to cut off her head. Later on, Parashuram intelligently brought her back to life. So, what we learn is that when she lost chastity, she lost her bal or tapobal. Chastity also gives some tapobal, like Brahmacharya gives bal, and chastity for a woman also gives bal to them, strength to them. Like Gandhari got tremendous power when she covered her eyes. In the same way, irrespective of whether we are men or women, if we perform this austerity of keeping our senses chaste to Krishna and Krishna's service, we will get tremendous power. And we will see that bad association cannot harm us. We have the free will to choose to be chaste to Krishna. We have the free will, every one of us have the free will. But if we misuse that free will and become unchaste, that means use the senses sometimes in Maya service and sometimes in Krishna service. Little bit Maya, little bit Krishna. Then you are like a pendulum. You keep going back and forth. So that is where one's determination becomes weakened. So amongst all the things that I think of and I speak about, this is one point I emphasize the most. That check whether you have given your heart to Maya or Krishna. That is the question. Because we may be in the garb of a devotee, we may wear tilak, we may wear kantamala, we may be chanting, we may be doing all devotional activities apparently. But we have to check, where is my heart? Because depending on where we have given our heart, we will soak our heart in that. You all know the story of the monkey and the alligator. Or monkey and the crocodile, isn't it? Actually, that story is not for children, that's for adults. That's meant for grown-up people. It has got very valuable lessons in it. So the monkey is a creature which lives on trees. Whereas the alligators, they live on water. But the monkey made a mistake. He made a wrong friendship. And the monkey, who is a creature of the tree, made friendship with whom? A creature of water. That was a mistake. Similarly, devotees are supposed to live like swans. And if we make thick friendship with someone who is a crow, then the swan also will start crowing like kra kra, like a crow making sound, isn't it? Although he may have a swan's body. So, as we say, birds are the same for the flock together. Monkey should make friendship with other monkeys living on trees. But he did a wrong thing by making friendship with a water creature. That was the first mistake he committed. Then, one mistake you commit, then you commit multiple mistakes. The nature of bad association is such that initially you commit a small mistake. It's like a small hole in a boat. And then the whole boat is drowned. Similarly, bad association can drown us. So now, this monkey made friendship with the alligator. So the monkey would sometimes come down from the tree and sit on the bank of the river and have a conversation with the alligator. He became thick friends with him. And when he became thick friends with him, what he did, he asked about the alligator. He asked the crocodile, "Tell me something about your life. After all, I am your friend. Let's share with one another." Then the crocodile started talking about how wonderful it is to go in water. How nice it is to wander in the water. And the water bed is so large. And you get more enjoyment in water than on land. And the monkey started contemplating on this in the absence of crocodile. He'll go to the tree and he would see all the monkeys jumping in the tree happily eating fruits, but he'll be very morose. He felt that I am missing something in life. This crocodile is really enjoying in water, but I am not able to enjoy like him. I am just sitting in the tree. What is the fun in simply jumping from one branch to another branch? Just look at a crocodile, how wonderful he is going for a joyride. He is having a merry, great, he is doing merrymaking in the water. I cannot do that. So, when he associated with a crocodile and inquired about his well-being, about his life, water activities he does, in that way what happened? The monkey associated with him. And by such association, he developed a desire to also want to go in water. But can he go in water? No. He is not a creature of water. He is supposed to be on the tree. But unfortunately, he developed a wrong desire. Same way, we may become devotees, but by bad association, we also get some impurities. For example, I have seen, even after becoming devotee, sometimes the devotee is very simple. But then they associate with some karmis, materialists, and they become impressed with some of the material talents of people. Somebody is materially very rich. Even a devotee becomes very impressed. Oh, they are good family, they feel. Because they are very rich. Like they go to offices, they see the posh facilities given in company. And then they feel materialists are after all not all that bad. They are also gentlemanly. They also shake hands. They talk very sweetly. Our devotees too much exaggerate. They say materialists are all bad. Materialists are not all that bad. Actually, why materialists are bad? We are not telling materialists are bad because they are ungentlemanly. We are not saying materialists are bad because, you know, they are aggressive like or they are dangerous like animals. But why they are dangerous? Because they will kill our Krishna consciousness. They will take us away from Krishna. They are ready to do everything other than Krishna consciousness. They are ready to speak polite words. If you are in America, you will see people are extremely polite there. The way they speak and everything. Right from childhood, they are trained to be polite through many communication seminars and courses. Like, you know, if you have to ride a car in America, you should have undergone a course. You know that? You know, you should have undergone, you know, practice and everything. Not like sometimes in India, you can easily get a license. But in America, everything you do, right from childhood, they train how to speak. So one devotee was telling me when he went to America, so he had to cross the road like this. I mean, he has to go along a road like that. So the car would stop almost 20 feet distance. Can you imagine? Yeah. You know, they would stop. As soon as he sees a person is crossing, he would stop 20 feet distance, he said, like that. So externally, they are highly gentlemanly. If you see the way they speak, they know when to utter the right word, what word should be spoken. So, although they are externally very gentlemanly, I am not talking any particular American, I am telling in general, sometimes you find karmi is very polite and well behaved and gentle and understandable, reasonable. And when you look at devotees, you think devotees are so harsh, devotees are so cruel, and devotees always pinch my faults. The karmis are better, one may feel like that. And amongst devotees, you may feel devotees are impolite, devotees are harsh, devotees, you know, talk bluntly and everything we may think. But such harsh, impolite devotees are far superior to the well-behaved, well-mannered karmis. Because such karmis actually will take us away from Krishna consciousness. Because they are ready to do everything. You tell them, you chant Krishna, that I cannot do. They will say, we never go to temple, we are not interested in God, everything is there. What happens is, like I was telling about this gentleman, watching TV I was telling, you know, when we get lot of luxuries, the luxuries make us lethargic. Like you have a posh house, you have a posh bathroom, you have, you know, warm water to take bath, you have cushioned beds to sleep, and you have a lot of money, you have a fine car, you have a good job that pays you very well. So all these things make the living entity a secure prisoner at home. And one does not want to become serious in Krishna consciousness. One thing is, everything is going on very well. Chalo, no problem in life. Because these things pamper the body. When body is pampered, then we think everything is going on well. Until some threat comes in our life. You don't realize that. So materialistic people are soaked in material comforts and luxuries. So they feel very complacent to ever go to God. Sometimes even such gentlemanly people will tell you that I don't mind once in a while coming to temple, you know, to salute God and go. They don't mind. But they don't want to become serious in Krishna consciousness. And by our appreciating them, and by our glorifying them, and by our wanting to, you know, take them as role models, then we will also slacken our Krishna consciousness by that. On the contrary, it's better that we are in the company of devotees who may be constantly pinpointing our faults, or who may be very frank enough to correct us. Or sometimes devotees are not so intelligent in their behavior. Sometimes they are crude in their behavior. Still the devotee Sangha is far superior. Because as soon as you look at a devotee, whom do you remember? Krishna. So they are paving way back to spiritual world. So they are really very superior. So that is why one should remain in the company of devotees, safe and secure. But this foolish monkey, what he thought? He thought my friends are all useless. They are simply jumping in the branches of the tree. I would like to have a joy ride. I would like to have fun in the water. So he was contemplating, dreaming. What happens when you keep dreaming about something that becomes true over a period of time? It is said, no, jaisa bichar, I say achar. I say achar, I say prachar. We say, no? So they are all related. The thought becomes a word and word becomes deed, action. So one day the monkey came down and he saw the crocodile. He said, my dear friend, you have been always glorifying about the trip in the waters. I am always dreaming. When will the day come when I can also smell, you know, very smoothly sail in the water like you? But with my existing hands and legs and tail, you know, I cannot swim like you. Then the crocodile said, what is the problem? I am there, I can take you. One of the days I will take you. We will go across the river for long distance. And all day, morning to evening, you can have fun in water. And the monkey was very joyful. So he was waiting for the day. So this crocodile had a wife, you know. Crocodilani. So she one day told her husband, it seems that nowadays you don't have any interest in me. It seems that, you know, you are aiming at another she crocodile because you have lost interest in me. And the crocodile said, I can promise you, my dear good wife, I don't have anybody else in mind. But the wife said, no, no, no. If you don't have anybody in mind, then why are you not to be found many, many days? I see that many days you go and you don't return back home. You seem to be wandering elsewhere. Your interests are not at home. Then the crocodile honestly admitted, he said, no, no, no. I have developed such a thick friendship with one monkey. We keep talking, talking, and we don't even realize the days pass by. That's why sometimes I don't come home. And I don't have anybody else in mind, don't worry. So as soon as the crocodile wife heard, she was very cunning. She said, whom did you say about? You said about the monkey? And she said, this monkey is living in the jamun tree and eating jamun regularly. So he must be having a kaleja, you call it, heart. He must be having a heart which is as sweet as jamun. So why don't you bring the heart of that monkey? Then I can have a nice feast at home. Can cook a nice feast. You see, this husband crocodile was actually a good friend of monkey. And he was also quite innocent. They both were almost friends. Good friends. Similarly, we find sometimes we develop friendship with an innocent person who is in bad company. If some innocent person is in bad company, by making friendship with that person, then that innocent person even can pull us down. You will see that. So, here the husband crocodile actually did not want to bring the heart of the friend, monkey. But then his wife told him, if you don't bring the heart of that monkey here, then I will understand that you have some affair separately, apart from me. You are trying to cheat me. That was the ultimatum, condition she put. Then the crocodile went to the bank of the river. So he was feeling very sorry to think that his friend is going to be killed and that will be the end of his friend. So very thought was making him very feel very bad. Sometimes we find that people who are caught up in a bad company, we may try to deliver them. But in the course of trying to deliver them, then we ourselves may get carried away. And unfortunately, sometimes we think they are innocent. They are not innocent. Because they are in bad company and because they are faithfully following the instructions of the bad people, they are as good as bad people. Like for example, the dobi, Krishna asked dobi for dress, isn't it? He was not ready to give. In fact, he shouted at Krishna and Balram. He said, you impudent children, you are asking for the king's clothes. He said, if you ever ask for the king's clothes again, then the government, the king's servants will come and they'll punish you. He was talking like that. Then of course Krishna Balram took whatever clothes they wanted. With the hand they just severed off his head. So somebody may think it's a too severe a punishment that Krishna gave to the dobi, who said he won't give the clothes. Was dobi not right in saying that the clothes were king's clothes? Actually they were king's clothes. But ultimately the clothes belong to whom? Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. One should never say no to Krishna. But Prabhupada says, why did this dobi say no to Krishna? He was a simple dobi. Apparently he was speaking the truth, saying that it belongs to king and all. But because of his sangha with Kamsa, he also became polluted by that sin. So he also had to be punished by that. He says like that. So there are many people who may be innocent in bad company, and in the course of our trying to deliver them, we may get polluted also. So one has to be very careful in dealing with people who are caught up in a bad company. So the monkey was again talking to him, and the crocodile said, my dear friend, you always wanted to go for a joyride. Today I am ready. Today I will take you. Come, let's go. Now the monkey climbed on the back of the crocodile, and the crocodile started going in the waters. So at one point of time, the monkey saw all around there is water, water everywhere. The monkey became a little fearful. He said, it is just one platform, you know, crocodile's body. I am just sitting in one small platform, there is water everywhere. It is becoming very fearful. Similarly, as I told you, in an impure stage, a devotee may desire impurity, but when a devotee is enveloped by impurity, a devotee regrets. Surely. You will see that it's not that devotees love impurity or they like to lead bad lives. No. The nature of this material world is that the material association is contaminating. In the beginning one may have a desire, but after one gets a desire, when one puts oneself and one is enveloped by impurity, then one will regret bitterly. What a fool am I? So now the monkey started thinking deeply, Maybe I did a mistake. I have left the bank of the river. And now here I am in the middle of the water. What will happen to me? Then he asked the crocodile, are we safe? The crocodile said, you are very safe. Don't worry. That is the advice you will get from non-devotees. Non-devotees will never tell you that you are unsafe. Padam padam yatvi padam natesham. Who will say that? There is danger at every step. Only devotees will say that. Non-devotees, till the point of death, they cannot understand the temporary nature of the material world. They cannot understand what is moha, illusion. They are so much trapped in illusion that for them, wine and women, they can't think of anything beyond that. This is life for non-devotees. They will always say everything is safe, no problem. And even if there is danger, they will always look for material security and material safety. They will never take shelter of Krishna. This is a characteristic of a non-devotee. You kick a non-devotee, you will see that when material nature kicks a non-devotee, he will leave that shelter and seek another material shelter, and a third material shelter, and a fourth material shelter. They will never want to take shelter of God. Or they may take shelter of God temporarily for a short while and again go back to some material security. They always think of some, so this bank I put money, it went diwala, I lost all money. Okay, now I will save money and put it in that bank. So they bank upon bank balance, doctor, police force, military force, relatives, friends. These are the security which they depend upon. They never depend on God. So the crocodile told them, we are very safe, don't worry. No problem, everything is alright. But the monkey again said, no, I don't think I am in a very safe position. I am not very happy. So a devotee can never perform sinful activities peacefully. It is not possible. Because when a devotee tries to do sinful activities, Krishna from within will warn the devotee, you fool. I brought you to Krishna consciousness. Now you are trying to do sinful activity. So Lord will, the conscience eats us up when one wants to do sin. Because one knows the reality, one knows the truth, one will feel pained in the heart to do sin. So now the crocodile revealed the truth. He said, my dear friend, I really love you very much. So I have to tell you one truth. What is the truth? See, I always wanted to be your good friend. I never wanted to cause any problem to you. But you see my wife, she wants to cook your heart today for lunch. So that is why she has asked me to bring you. So I thought that I will give you a joy ride. Along with that, I can also take you to her. So she can cook your heart. And the monkey heard it, he jumped up. Where will he jump? He jumped on the same body of the crocodile. He has nowhere to go now. He can't jump in the water. He said, come on, what are you saying? She will kill me, she will broke open my chest, take and cook it. Why you didn't tell me before? The crocodile said, actually, my dear friend, I never wanted to cause any harm to you. But at the same time, I am obedient to my wife. I can't say no to her. Otherwise, she is misunderstanding me. So, now, the monkey realized his precarious position. But at least at this time, he had some intelligence. So, something struck in his head. Immediately he said, oh, you said you want a heart, isn't it? That I have kept it on the top of the tree. Why you didn't tell me before? He said. And this crocodile was foolish. He said, oh, really? Please kindly bring it down. I'll take you there. He brought him to the bank of the river. And the monkey jumped up on the tree. And the monkey said, you foolish crocodile. You were trying to cheat me. Thank God. Because God gave me the inspiration to tell you that my heart is in the tree. So my life was saved. Henceforth, you can never be my friend. Get lost from here. I will never associate with you, he said. Left his company. So sometimes devotees who are at the verge of falling down from Krishna consciousness, they come back safely. Like this monkey came back. It has happened to some people who somehow or other are going away and Krishna gives them inspiration. Like it happened to one devotee who wanted to leave the temple and, he went to the aeroplane. So in the airport he saw devotees were selling books. So he just closed his eyes and he sat in the aeroplane. When he sat in his seat, the next person who was sitting next to him was a Swamiji. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram, 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 Hare Hare. He was chanting like that, constantly. So he was feeling very uneasy. He was actually planning to leave the company of devotees and run away. So that he thought that, let me enjoy the material world and then I can think of other things later. So when he saw Swamiji constantly chanting throughout the flight journey, it was bombarding his ears. So 4 or 5 instances took place for him. Wherever he went, he found devotees there. At last, he got an inspiration from the heart. It seems Krishna doesn't want me to be away from devotees. So again, returned back to the same temple and he joined the devotees. So sometimes Krishna sometimes pulls a devotee back who is going towards Maya. He pulls him back. So this monkey said, I have given my heart, I kept my heart in a tree. Similarly, when we talk of bad association, we are talking of giving our heart. We should not give our heart to the materialistic people who are non-devotees. We have to give our heart to Krishna. So giving our heart means sharing joys and sorrows. You should never share your joys and sorrows with non-devotees. You need a devotee to do that. For example, if any of you go to your office and tell your friends, or college and tell your friends, your friend is seeing you that you are feeling very tired. You know. Hey, you're dozing like this? What happened? And you start crying, oh, you don't know, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, you know. Why do you get up so early? I get up at 8 o'clock. Oh, what to do? This 16 rounds chanting I have to do. That is why I told you, don't go to these Hare Krishna people. Don't get up so early. You also get up at 8 o'clock. No problem. That is the advice they will give, correct? Any middle person will give such advice. You know? See, I am getting up at 8 o'clock. I am hale and healthy. You know, keep healthy nicely. All this chanting, go in front of God. Just in 1 minute you stand like this. And then you come back, that's all. All day is yours, then you can enjoy life. What is the need of chanting 16 rounds? They will say like that, friends. And you go to some devotee friend and tell. Devotee friend is asking, why are you, Mataji, Prabhuji, why are you dozing like this? You say, I am getting up at 4:30, Mataji. I am not able to, you know, balance my activity. I am feeling so tired in the company or college. Then what time you sleep? You see, night we keep talking, you know, it becomes 12 o'clock. Then you say, better you sleep at 10 o'clock. Isn't it? So sleep at 10, that means they will never tell you, don't get up in the morning. So, we should never share our joys and sorrows with materialistic people. We should always share our joys and sorrows with devotees only. Sometimes we think, if I make friendship with devotees, you know, they will come to know my weakness. And they will think that I am not so advanced, you know. So, better that I take good advice from my karmi friends. And I will only tell good things to devotees. And that way devotees will know my glory. In this way they will always praise me, and in the body of Vaishnavas, everyone will think that I am a very advanced devotee. So in this way what we do, we present our credentials and greatnesses to devotees, and we present our weaknesses to karmis. Actually we should just do the opposite. Like when you meet devotees, you should reveal the weakness and take help. And they help you. And when you meet karmis, you should tell them how happy you are in Krishna consciousness. You can tell them, you know, I used to feel inferiority complex, I don't feel inferior. I used to, you know, suffer so much before, now I am so happy. See, everything is wonderful. By chanting God's name, I have got the strength by which I can tackle all problems in life. So you should tell good things to karmis when you meet them, so that they also become devotees. Not that you go to karmis and share your sorrows to them. So that is why the Sangha Vivarjita means actually avoiding soaking our consciousness in bad association. This Dussanga includes many things. It includes Mayavadis, it includes Nirishwarvadis. Mayavadis are impersonalists. Nirishwarvadis are atheistic people, yeah. Dharmadvajis. Those are pretenders. Those who are mumbo jumbo, fake godmen. Dharmadvajis. And also opposite sex is also included in this. Attraction for the opposite sex. That is also Dussanga. It's included in that. So all these things actually are contaminating to the mind. Associating means, like Prabhupada says, one should never give prasad and accept prasad from Mayavadis or Nirishwarvadis. So, and we should not exchange our joys and sorrows, as I was telling, with these people. Because they are not going to benefit your Krishna consciousness in any way. In fact, they can only do damage to your Krishna consciousness. So in this way, Prabhupada explains in the translation. Who is always free from contaminating association? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the trend for us. Like he said, now when he when Pratap Rudra was a king, he, while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, he slipped and fell on the ground, and Pratap Rudra immediately caught him. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that he is in the embrace of a king, immediately he thought, oh, a king is a Vishayi. Vishayi means a materialist who constantly thinks of gold and silver, who is surrounded by so many women, who is always dominating others and controlling others, because of which he has false ego. So in this way, a king is a person who is very contaminated by material association. And such a person is catching me, he said, Chichi, he said, don't touch me. He said, he just moved himself. The king also became very afraid. Of course, Pratapada was not an ordinary king. He was a very great devotee. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always teaches externally, internally many things. He wanted to teach the world how one should abhor bad association. One should understand the dirtiness, danger of bad association. He wanted to set an example. When Sarvabhattacharya insisted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, you know, this king is a very good king, is a devotee, you should meet him. So Lord Chaitanya said, no, for a sannyasi like me to meet this Vishayi king is more dangerous than drinking poison willingly, he said. It's more dangerous. One who is aspiring to return back to Godhead. So he was very strict about that. So even externally he avoids such association. You will see Lord Chaitanya, he took sannyas. So he preached to people like Sarvabhattacharya, Prakashanand Saraswati and such people. So either he preached to the classes or he preached to the masses. He would go to a village and he would sing the holy names and all people would become devotees. He would do that. But you will never find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivering a hardcore materialist who is indulging in sinful activities. For that, he told Nityananda Prabhu, that Nityananda, you should get married, he told them. Because I am a sannyasi, I cannot deliver people who are in liquor shops, people who are drinking, smoking, indulging in bad activities. I can't deliver them, but you can. How? Because you become a grihastha and you can go to any place and you can deliver. That means, sometimes what happens with grihastha devotees, when they hear lectures like this, they become extremely guarded and they become more strict than brahmacharis in avoiding bad association. So much so that as soon as they see a materialist, immediately they turn their face away. So Nityananda Prabhu sets the example for the grihasthas that, of course, a grihastha is living in the world. And naturally, you will come across materialistic people. All kinds of vishayas you will come across. Far more than the association that brahmacharis get of materialists. Brahmacharis, evening we come for a program like this, we meet only devotees. And daytime we are in the temple. Very little we get to meet non-devotees. But those are grihasthas in your workplace, working place, your colleagues, or in your college or school, anywhere. You get to meet so many materialistic people. So Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda, you can even go into a liquor shop and bring out a drunkard and make him into a devotee. Like he made Jagai Madha into a great devotee. Nityananda Prabhu only delivered them. Then later on Lord Chaitanya also came. Nityananda Prabhu brought them to the path of Krishna consciousness. So as grihasthas, you are certainly given an opportunity by which you can try to bring those people to Krishna consciousness. When one is in family life, one is in the material world, one cannot avoid bad association, but one can try to make that bad association into good association. One can convert the people by your own exemplary behavior, by your model that you show them, how a devotee behaves and how a devotee lives. By that we can change them, because you can't run away from them. Some grihasthas, they prefer keeping mum in bad association, because they feel that if I open my mouth, they will come to know I am a devotee, they will ridicule me, and in this way they will not let me be in peace. They feel like that. Of course, you can keep mum if you are afraid of preaching, if you are not confident enough. But if you are confident, if you are practicing very nicely, you can certainly give Krishna consciousness to others. There are many innocent people who may apparently be caught up in sinful habits, but they may become devotees. As I said, you know, even a drunkard or a meat eater or a cigarette smoker, these people are not as dangerous as those who are against the purpose of the Lord. Like you will find when you talk amongst your friends, there are some people, as soon as you say about Krishna consciousness, they will ridicule you. They will jeer at Krishna. They will ridicule Krishna. That means they are envious of Krishna. You can easily see that. Such people should never be preached to. They are dveshis, envious people. You keep them at a distance, never associate with them. There will be some people who will say, you know, everything is Brahman, everything is God. You know, why are you saying Krishna is God? You know, all gods are one. One is all is one, you are that, I am that, we are one, I am you are me. The people who speak that, And if I am you are me, then I will eat prasad and you keep quiet. So such people also can be envious of Krishna. So we keep distance from such people also. But there are innocent people who may be apparently caught up in... I know many innocent boys who are meat eaters. They were eating meat. Now after becoming devotees, they feel so bad. Why was I a meat eater? So there may be some very innocent people who may be caught up in sinful activities. But as grihasthas, you have more access to people. Our new ISKCON temple is going to come in Pune. The big temple is coming in Kathraj. So in that context, you know, you will have to go out, meet some materialistic people, probably big people, inspire them to donate for Krishna, donate for the new temple, isn't it? So you'll have to go and meet them. But this point is very important. We should not soak our consciousness in the impurities that we come across. As long as you are giving Krishna consciousness to them, and they are benefiting, then you will remain pure, like Padma Patram Vambasa, Krishna says. You remain like a drop of water in a lotus leaf, untouched. One can remain like that. It's possible. Prabhupada remained like that. Prabhupada went to America. He was in the heart of New York, which is the headquarters of Maya. But Prabhupada was never touched by it. He remained pure and he was giving Krishna to others like that. So, we have to first relieve ourselves from bad association, put ourselves in good association, strengthen our inner consciousness. And then, we have to go out and give that inner strength that you have got now to others. We have to give it to all kinds of people. So I covered only one word today, Sangha Vibharjita. We will talk about Sthiramati in the next class. And then we will conclude with the next verse next week. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki? Yeah. Anybody had a question? A comment? Your question, yeah? Yes. Yeah, where do we ask?
You said that when you are in the station of service and
preach. There are different kinds of people. Generally, our fear is if you are going to office, if you talk about Krishna, if you talk about ISKCON, then you fear that they will corner me. You know, they may all corner me and they may all join hands with one another, and you know, in lunch time and evening, morning, they will ridicule me. You know, that is one of the fears many devotees may have. Actually, we don't have to preach them in groups, you know. You can always preach them individually. Like you can identify some pious people. You can identify someone who is inquisitive. That's not very difficult. You know, if you are meeting with colleagues, for a period of time you get to know who is who, you know. And somebody is a little mistaken, you can give them a book as a gift, give them a Bhagavad Gita. So they will know that you are a spiritualist, you like Bhagavad Gita, you like Bhagavatam, you like scriptures and you are practicing something. But you are not imposing it on others. You can give a gift on birthday, some Prabhupada's book to them, a Bhagavad Gita. So we can give, and who knows, tomorrow somebody may turn out to be a big devotee. It's likely. But if you are too reserved and you want to completely hide our devotional nature, that is against our Vaishnava philosophy. You should not do that, because not all are dveshis, not all are envious. There are certainly some innocent and pure people also. So, according to time, place, circumstance, we should give. Like for example, if you go to office and you say, you keep telling everyone about Krishna, Krishna all the time. You are talking about and you are chanting with your beads in the office. Then that unnecessarily creates a sensation in the office. Some devotees do that. They carry bead back to the company, they go with the tilak, and they go and tell everyone, you know, come to temple, they start preaching in a very big way. Then the authorities become disturbed. They say, what have you come here for? Are you going to work in our company or you are going to do your propagation of Krishna consciousness? So that is also not good. One has to make a balance. Like for example, in tea time or lunch time or evening, if you talk to some people about Krishna consciousness, they will be very happy. And there are people who are looking for principled people. When they know that you are a principled man, they will appreciate very much. Of course, you may say that may be good old times, but in modern times you have to be a villain. You may say, but it is not true. There are also people in the modern times who appreciate people who are principled. And we should not fear. We should be ready. Even with ridicule, what are you going to lose? Some people will always ridicule. If somebody is asking questions and ridiculing it, you can tell him, we can talk, you come to my home, or you know, sometime in the evening, leisure time, we can talk. But always you should preferably talk individually, one to one. Because different people may have different natures. Yeah. But we should not be too fearful.
Actually, we stay in one company for near about 2 years, 4 years, 5 years. They come to know we are in ISKCON, they are following, they have some rules and regulations. They appreciate that. They see that he is a principal person. In the beginning, they ask, what is Krishna consciousness? What do you teach? And in that course, we have a senior group of people. They ask question for about 2.5 hours, you know, while we are traveling, and I gave the answer. And they really appreciate that. Really, this is we didn't know. Many people also they don't know the answer of these questions. This is a very nice thing. But over a period of this is the one situation and one time. When we go, they don't bring this topic again. Because they know all the aspects of the ISKCON and the philosophy.
From a distance.
But they want to keep a distance.
Correct.
In that situation, they talk different things about the different aspects of what is going on there. In that aspect, what we should do.
One thing is, many people have a short-lived interest. And they want to be simply pious. They don't want to make a plan to go back to Godhead, you know. Like Prabhupada talks about going back to Godhead. Very few people want to go back to Godhead. Majority of them feel that, you know, chalo, don't take this thing so seriously. Live a life very casually. And they feel like that. So naturally, occasionally they may hear you attentively, but then again they are back to their, you know, old natures. Sometimes they may talk materialistic things and you can't tell them, you know, you are talking prajalpa. No. You can't say that. Sometimes even your job situation needs to have some talks. You know, you may talk about the growth of the company, you may talk about the future of the company, you may talk about the projects, you may talk about things related to company. There may be many, many things which are not directly Krishna conscious talks, but that is coming in prescribed duty, you know. And sometimes they may talk even casual things about your family, children, wife, parents. Sometimes they may talk, sometimes they talk about, you know, special events in the company. So these are all part of our prescribed duty life. Yeah. So whether we like or not, we have to tolerate that. Like for example, if you are walking, some metalist is asking you, what is the time in your watch? Will you tell or not? So we tell. Even somebody asked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said also. Why we tell? Because if we are friendly in our dealing, and you know, if we are favorable, they appreciate it. And there's a likelihood they may take devotional service later. So we can always be courteous, kind, helpful, considerate, can be like that. Like say somebody wants to talk to you about the political situation of India today. Some people are very fond of it. Or somebody wants to talk to you about cricket. The company, they come in the morning, early morning they start low. Sometimes you see some people talking continuously in the early morning in the department. So much work pending, but they have a lot of fun in talking like that. So we don't have to become upset with them. But we can show our lack of interest by, you know, ignoring them. For example, you may hear for a few minutes and you may not comment anything. So they will ask, so what do you say? Which is better? This party or that party? So you can easily say that, I don't know about all these parties. If you say, generally we fear to tell them. Because we feel that if I tell them I don't know, then they will think I am weak in politics. You know, this is our problem. We can always tell them, yes, I am weak in politics. Somehow I am not very interested. You know, different people may be ruling, one party rules and that goes, one lion goes and tiger comes, you know. Different people may be ruling like that. But if they know that you are not very keen, interested, then they will also not talk about it much. You will see that. But if, in the name of developing friendship, you show interest, then they will talk more. At the same time, in the beginning only you shut their mouth and say, you are doing prajalpa, that also hurts them. Like I'll tell you a simple example. Sometimes the karmis, materialist people want to offer you food. Suddenly they call you, you know, the lunch time, they will say, today I have brought something from home for you, you know, something special I have cooked. And you find that they have put something in onion, garlic and everything. And they want to offer you with great love and you cannot relish that love, you know. Because, you know, you feel, what is this? First of all, you won't eat anything that is not prasadam. So it becomes very difficult, correct, as a devotee. Actually they have love, I mean, they have that kind of feeling. Loving feeling they have, and they want you to, especially if it is in public, it becomes all the more problem. If there are a dozen people around, they all are watching what you are doing, and that fellow is giving, it's a very troublesome thing. Like sometimes people give me demigod prasadam, you know, some places. I never deny, I always accept it in the hand. I take it and keep it with me. Thank you very much, we wish them, thank them. Sometimes we pass through Mayavadi muts and all, they give, we take it, and later on we give it off to some beggar or somebody, we don't keep it. So, most important thing in such occasions is not to, you know, hurt them or to, you know, save the face. It's called a saving the face, we call it, you know. Saving the face means, like if you tell them, no, I don't eat onion garlic, you tell them in front of others, when 10 people are watching them, you know, they feel that, and that means you have rejected me. They feel like that. This is the greatest problem when dealing with materialistic people. Like, you know, if you are dealing with a client, you may say, come on, cheers, take it. Maybe we'll drink a cup of wine. Or let us take a puff of cigarette, you know. So that it is difficult. Of course, you can always say, see, my dear friend, you know, I'm not used to all this. I don't mind drinking, you know, some mango juice or some fruity or something. You know, you may say that. So he will not become angry with you. He may say that, okay, you know, he's a chota bacha, he doesn't know much, all this. Okay, you drink. So he will understand that you are innocent, you know, simple. But if you correct him, no, I don't like all these things, you know. We follow 4 regulative principles, you know. We don't drink, we don't do this, do that. Then he will think that you are becoming judgmental, you are criticizing him, you are becoming self-righteous. That nobody will appreciate. But if you are humble, he will understand you are trying to cooperate with him. Okay, you drink that and I will drink some juice, you know. Yeah. You smoke a cigarette and I will lit up Agarbati for the Lord. You know? So we will do 2 things which are similar looking, isn't it? So, the materialist association is a challenge actually. All of you will be more experienced than me because you are living in the outside world. You know, you are practically living in the outside world, dealing with different kinds of people. Especially if you want to bring them to Krishna consciousness, associating with them and not getting entangled. That is the greatest challenge, to get the fish and not get wet, you know. You have seen the bird, it comes like this, catches the fish and goes away, right? Never gets wet. So like that you have to bring people out of materialistic life, bring them to Krishna. You can do some kirtan, 5 minutes, yeah?
When one follows Krishna consciousness and gets rid of all past karma,
yeah,
and becomes pure devotee, is it just the absence of sorrows and memories and
Positive. Pure devotee means not just absence of sorrows or miseries. There is a positive spiritual bliss that a devotee feels. See, you take ordinate. Huh? There is negative axis, there is 0-0, and there is positive axis. Now we all are enjoying negative emotions in the material world. And then 0-0 means like a jnani comes to a standstill platform where he doesn't want to, na shochati, na kangshati. He wants to become devoid of emotions. 0-0, shanti, 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 peace. But if you, then there is, beyond the jnani is the bhakta. The bhakta experiences positive emotions, positive access. So they are all spiritual emotions, like what the vajrasis experience. Devotees experience positive spiritual emotions in the company of the Lord.
Is it the same which one enjoys in samadhi?
Yeah, one gets in samadhi. Yeah, when one achieves samadhi state, one experiences that. Yes. Who has the kartas?